Hello, everyone. I'm Marcy Howard, and for the next hour, we're going to have a discussion about faith. The mission of About Faith is to gain peace and understanding with one another through answering questions about a variety of faiths. We're not here to debate right or wrong. We're here to gain knowledge and understanding of one another through respectful conversations with faith leaders about their own journey in faith. So let's introduce our panel for today. Welcome, Rabbi Jonah from B'nai Zion Congregation.
Thank you, Marcy. B'nai Zion is at 245 Southfield Road in the Broadmoor area. We celebrated 150 years in buildings. You may have seen the B'nai Zion on Cotton as well, and our first building burned down, but we've been proud to be in this space since the mid-1950s.
Welcome, Imam Islam.
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Imam Islam. Our worship place is located in 9204 Udi Drive by the name MCS, the Muslim Community of Shreveport. And we're gathering every Friday. Actually, we're gathering every day five times. But the evening time, the people come more. And we have two big gathering, like holidays. It's called Eid, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So the most of the people, they come and we celebrated all of them.
Welcome, Father Jason, from Holy Nativity of the Lord Mission.
Thank you, Marcy. It's good to be here with Rabbi and Imam. Holy Nativity is located at 2155 Southern Loop Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. That's the southern end of I-49, the last exit before you exit Shreveport, or the last exit into Shreveport. We've been here 10 years. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary on Nativity at this time right now. So thanks for having me again. Again, it's good to be with the Rabbi and Imam today.
Thank you. I'm really pleased and happy and honored to have all of you with me today. We have some questions about the different holidays and celebrations and festivals of each one of your faiths. And so today, I would like to go ahead and talk about those in the differences of them and what the meaning of them is, so that we can understand when you're having a celebration, what that's about. Could I start with Father Jason? Father Jason, can you tell us the main holidays and celebrations that you have of your faith?
Sure, Marcy. It may take just a second because our year is divided up into 12 major feast days, not counting what we call Holy Week, ending in Easter or Pascha. The year begins with us, or for us, in September with the Nativity of Mary. And then at September 14th, that feast is September 8th. September 14th is the exaltation of the cross. November 21st is the entrance, or the presentation of the Theotokos, which is Mary, into the temple. Then on December 25th, we celebrate the Nativity of our Lord. January 6th is Theophany. February 2nd is the presentation of Christ into the temple. March 25th is Annunciation. Then Palm Sunday falls at different times during the year based on how we calculate Easter or Pascha. 40 days after that is the Ascension of our Lord. 50 days after Pascha is Pentecost. August 6th is Transfiguration. And August 15th is the Dormition of the Theotokos, or Mary. So that's what our year looks like. There's four feasts given over to honoring Mary. Her feast day begins our liturgical year, church year, with her birth, and it ends our liturgical year with her Dormition or her death. So we would say our Mariology is that which anchors our Christology. If Mary wasn't truly human and was not born as we are and did not die as we died, then Jesus is something other than human as well. So she anchors our Christology. Then on top of that, again, we have the Feast of Feasts, the celebration of Easter or Pascha, which is the resurrection of our Lord. And I also would like to say the dates that I gave you are for the Gregorian calendar. In some areas of the Christian world, also here in the United States, certain jurisdictions are still under the Julian calendar, which is about 2 weeks behind us. So for instance, our Christmas or nativity is December 25th. The old calendarist, their celebration of Christmas or nativity will be January 7th. So that's kind of what our year looks like.
Thank you. Imam Islam, can you tell us about your celebrations, your major celebrations?
As I mentioned, you know, like a celebration has the two parts, you know. The one is we like enjoy, and there's another part we fulfill the commandment of the gods. Every time, you know, the real enjoy, when he fulfills the commandment is God, is the real enjoyment there. So in Ramadan, and this is like lunar calendar, so every year is changed, like 10 or 11 days is coming earlier than previous year. So this year we hopefully like April 12th to May 10th, something like this. And so every night, we're fasting every day for like 1 month. And then we recite the holy book, the Quran, by the memory. So every night, and people, they come and they pray, they listen. And this is like whole month. And then after that, when our month is Ramadan finish, they have the big celebrated day. It's called Eid al-Fitr. And then after 2.5 months, like 2 months, 10 days, the other Eid is called Eid al-Adha. And the Prophet Abraham, he do sacrifice his son. He's not actually, he's sacrifice his son. He sacrificed the lamb. But this God not commanded him to sacrifice his son. He saw a dream, by the dream, not direct command. So he saw in dream, he sacrificed his son. And then between Muslim and the Judaism, they have the little dispute, who is the son, you know? They believe the Ismail, and they believe the Isaac. Yes, Dr. Jana?
Yes, we have the same story, and we know that Ibrahim, he had two sons, and the first one was Ishmael, the second one with Sarah was Yitzhak, and so we have almost the same story word for word about God telling Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son, the one he loves. But then it comes to the punchline is that it's a different son when he says it in the Quran than it does in the Torah. And so, but it's the same story. And I find it powerful that we share that same story, that there's something powerful about remembering that the end of this is we don't sacrifice children like other religions did, that we worship God in a very different way than other religions did at the time. And so we stay sister, brother, cousins in how we observe our faith.
So this is our main two holidays, you know, like it's called Eid, you know. And this is our book in the Quran, and it's told about the Eid, the holidays, about the Prophet Isa, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. You know, when he fasting, like a couple of days, and some our hadith, the Prophet saying about the month, and then that disciple, they requested him, Jesus, son of the Mary, can your Lord send down the food? And then Allah, he sent for the table of the food. This is also the Eid mentioned in the book of our book about the Jesus, peace be upon him, you know. And then he mentioned the his disciple, you know, if God, you will be thankful to God or that God provide you. And if you obey the God, he will increase. And if you disobey, if you are disgraceful, if you're not ungrateful to God, then God will punish you, you know. So this is about the our book, you know, the talk about the celebration of the Jesus Christ.
May I ask a question? I think that it surprises people to hear that your holy month of Ramadan, that you fast for 40 days.
30 days.
30 month. Days. You fast for 30 days. And when people hear, so there are two things about what you said that may surprise people. One is, I don't think that many people realize that in the Quran, that Jesus is a prophet, an important prophet in the Quran. And I think that
is it actually, you know, he's very high prophet. Mm-hmm. You know, that in the Quran mentioned, and the Allah mentioned that in the book, that he sent many prophet. Some of them mentioned in the book, and some are not mentioned in the book. But he mentioned the Quran, the 25 prophet name in the Quran.
And so, Jesus is one, and Moses
Jesus
is one. And Moses,
yes,
and Moses is one. And
I'm coming more close. You know, there is five prophet is called very high. Among this 25, this five is very high. This five is the Prophet Nuh, Noah. Ibrahim, mm-hmm. Musa, Isa, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them. This five is very, in the Quran mentioned, is very high. Actually, the Prophet Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, when he talk any prophet, they say, peace be upon you, that means, may Allah, and peace, and they always respected, you know. And his name in the Quran is mentioned 25 times.
I think that many people don't realize how much that happens.
And even the some people they say, and even in the Quran, they have the 114 surah is chapter. You know, one chapter is special, the name of the Mary, the peace be upon her. It's called Surah Maryam. And many other surah, they talk about the Maryam, how she grew up, how his mother, her mother, you know, when she, before she born, her mother promised to give it to her for the God service, you know. Everything is detailed talk in the Quran, you know. They believe all this thing, and they believe in Torah and Injil. They believe also, like, you know, maybe it's a long time, and this, you know, the same word or is same. There is some maybe change, you know. So that's in our book, the Quran, we have the, like, in 1400 years ago, in the same word. We're not changing. We're not changing any. We can translate the other languages, but every Muslim, even in Nigeria, in China, or anywhere, they're reading the same Arabic tone.
Good. Father Jason, did you realize how much Jesus and Mary were in the Quran?
Yes, I've read the Quran. It really does have a lot of influence from the Byzantine or ancient Christian world as well. They overlap a lot, along with their fasting practices, just like us. We just finished a 40-day fast for Nativity. We have another 40-day fast coming up for Easter. Then we have a 2-week fast near the end of the year for the dormition of Mary, or the falling asleep of Mary. Then we have an apostles fast. There are four major fasts during the year. And the length of it is determined when Easter or Pascha is celebrated. So yeah, if you look at, just say, like, if you go to Istanbul, you'll see the Hagia Sophia. Then across the street is the Blue Mosque, and they look almost identical out, you know, in their architecture. So there's a lot of history that's been shared since the late 6th-7th century between Islam and Christianity, especially in the eastern part of the world, which really we haven't experienced that much overlap. There's not many Orthodox, and there's not many Muslims Muslims in North America. But I think as those faiths grow and develop, you will again see the overlap and the likeness of the two as they have shared history and some shared tradition.
Well, so I am curious about how you do. Our fasts are one day. It's like 27 hours, but it's one day. So how do you do a fast that's a month or weeks? How do you do that?
Well, the imam, I'm not sure if they do it differently than we do. We have like this last fast that just was completed. It was no meat or no dairy, limited alcohol. But they're not just rules and regulations for us. People voluntarily engage them. We say it's the wind that blows the sails of the boat. It's not the boat itself. It helps you in your spiritual growth and progress. So it's an ascetical discipline that helps transform the human person. Yeah.
I like to say it's not about what you give up, it's what you give up. That's right. What I say.
And if I'll treat the religious, you know, if we go the roots, many things is similar. And about the time period, you know, the people little go slide, it's little change. But if it's many things, its root is same. They not allow, the Muslim not allow, like the eat the food other than the books, the people of the books. People of the books mean the Judaism and Christianity and Muslim. We cannot eat other people the food. You know, even also like, you know, we cannot marry other faith people except like this, the Judaism and the Christianity. But is it not the encourage us, you know, that do so, but it is allow us, we can do that. So, and why? Because, you know, they believe the same God, you know, they believe the same God. In the Quran, they mention, you know, they tell the Prophet Muhammad, and he called the people of the books, whatever they're like, they're similar to this. What is this? Is the oneness of the God, you know? So we believe one God.
I was gonna say, if you look at the imam and myself, we both have beards. He wears a vest. It's a vest like I wear. We wear the same type cassock.
So even actually, you know, all this three religious, you know, yeah. If you look the. You have been go to the your place of worship, you have to cover even the sister, they should be cover their head with the humiliation. They go to God, they worship to God, they have to cover their head. But unfortunately, people like they took something, take negative meanings, but this is nothing but the humiliation for the God. Covering the hair, I think this is one of the God command, you know, but as for Muslim, they recommendation our kids when they childhood, we tell them this is the God command, like as we teach them the book of God and they tell about their five temperate, same thing we tell our the daughter or sister, and this is God commandment. And since they grow up and this is more protection for them, you know, this more izzah, more honor for them. So, but if someone not do, they cannot force. I think the most of the, we just teach them beginning and they do themselves when they grow up. But some people, I think they force too. But if you force, you cannot take their hearts. Nothing cannot... you take their hearts by forcing. You can tell about the God greatness, how God take care of us. Then they love the God, they do these kind of things.
Rabbi, I know that there's a teaching about head covering in Judaism too. Could you talk about that a little bit?
It's a kind of a funny thing. As you notice, A traditional Jew will have a head covering. Men sometimes wear their head covering all the time. I'm not sitting in a synagogue. If I were sitting in my synagogue, I would have my head covered also. It is a sign of respect and showing that you're acknowledging you're in God's presence. The funny thing is that it is not an official commandment anywhere in the Torah that you have to cover your head. And when you look up the law about covering your head, it tells you, well, Yaakov yatsa mi Beersheva, that Jacob left Beersheva, and he would never have left Beersheva without his head covering. So, of course, we have to cover our heads, which is a very funny thing. I think that one of the things that Imam was talking about, too, about how people are making choices now about covering, one of the problems is that in contemporary society, it became polite to remove your head covering in public. And so now some people see it as a sign of disrespect when we cover our head, when it's really a sign of showing respect and humility and modesty sometimes for women when they cover hair. But in my tradition, with my specifically in my family, the men would cover their heads when they were saying blessings or if they were in a holy place or if they were studying holy books. And I saw the women. I watched my grandmother always cover her head before she did religious, you know, observances like blessing candles at the beginning of holidays. She would always cover her head. So, and often when they went into the synagogue, they would cover, even women would cover their heads. So that's our tradition. The Reform movement, and my congregation is a Reform congregation. The Reform movement is all of Judaism is about choice. God commands us. He says, I've put before you the good and the bad and the life and the death. And God is urging us to choose the good so that we can live. So all of Judaism is always about choice. And the Reform movement felt like we need to be able to live in a Jewish way in a modern society. And if the modern society tends to not wear head coverings, Reform Judaism became a tradition where you didn't cover your head. And so for many years in the tradition at B'nai Zion, if you came in and you were, let's say you were visiting and you came in and you were covering your head, they would ask you to remove it. So that, and that was their tradition in this congregation. And it's only been a little more than 30 years that there's the option of covering your head when you're worshiping. So that's a little bit, and I still do. I just put it on because I realize that I look like I'm in the sanctuary. I'm not in the sanctuary. This is like I said, it's just a backdrop. But if I'm in the sanctuary, I would be wearing my hair, covering my head.
So individual choice seems to be coming up. And Imam, am I understanding you correctly that there's a choice in whether you have head coverings or not, or is it something that you do as a symbol and everybody does it?
It is a male or female. It is different there, you know. The female, the God command, you know, they have to they have to cover, and male. They're not command to cover.
Brother Jason, is there any kind of tradition of head covering for the Orthodox?
Yes, St. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says that he is passing down a tradition that he inherited, or that was known to him about women covering their heads. This is also prevalent in the Hebrew scriptures. But it's also prevalent in Eastern culture as well. What we do here, some jurisdictions are more strict than others regarding women's head coverings due to the fact that I'm a priest in a church that's made up mainly of converts. The idea of covering their heads, women covering their heads, is still somewhat new. Some cover their heads, some do not. I encourage it, but I don't demand it. But I think quite a few women do, especially at different services at different times. In other churches, you may or may not see head coverings. But along with the imam, quite often I'll wear a skufia, a little black hat, in the services as well in the sanctuary. And right now I'm sitting in what we call the narthex. I'm outside of the sanctuary proper. So quite often I do wear it. And if I was sitting, one time I was sitting in a bank, and it was an Imam Islam, but I was sitting there with another Imam. And really the only way you could tell us apart was probably the cross I wear around my neck. It's interesting to me, though, how much overlap we all have in so many different areas.
Yes,
I agree.
Rabbi, we want to talk about the Jewish holidays and the ones that are throughout the year, too, that are important to you. Could you tell us about that?
I'm happy to. I think just as in the other, as Abrahamic faiths, you know that the most important holiday is the one that comes every week, and that's Shabbat. Every seventh day, you have a take a day off, and God mentions it frequently in the Torah, so we know how important it is. I love that we get a special holy day every week. I'm using this as my backdrop here. Well, you'll notice that we have white flowers and white cloths covering the liturgical places, the lectern and things, because when we have holy days, we decorate in white, kind of a symbol of purity. And the holy days are the ones that God commanded. After Shabbat, in the fall, we have Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year. It's a new year. It's also the birthday of the world, or the birthday of humans. And then we have Yom Kippur, which is just 10 days later, which is the Day of Atonement. And Yom Kippur is the day that is the fast day that most Jews will observe as a fast day. And as we pointed out earlier, our calendar is based on a day that starts at sundown. So our days always start in the evening when the sun goes down. So the beginning, for example, of Sunday is Saturday night. If you see a Hallmark calendar or something that says Rosh Hashanah is on a certain day, then you know that it starts the evening before. And for us on these holy days that God says, so I started with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And by the way, Rosh Hashanah comes on the first day of the seventh month. So even though it's the beginning of a new year, it's the first day of the seventh month. The Jewish calendar has four new years on it. One of them is the beginning of the year itself, which is not surprisingly in the spring. And then there's two more. One is a new year for trees, which is coming up in January. And another is a new year for the animals, which comes in the fall. So we have those four. But on things like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then the next holy days are Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, usually translated as Tabernacles, where we're supposed to dwell or minimally eat in a sukkah, in like a hut, a booth. And that lasts 7 days. And the first day and the last day are holy days. And then the next holy day, at the end of Sukkot, we also have Simchat Torah, which is a day where we dance with the Torah scroll. And it's when we commemorate and reading the end of the five books of Moses and immediately beginning the five books of Moses again. So we have a complete cycle, and that happens in the fall. And then the next holy day is Passover, which, like Father Jason keeps saying, he keeps saying Pascha, it's called Pesach, same word. Passover comes in the spring, in the first month of the year. And then 7 times 7 weeks later, you have what Father Jason called Pentecost, which is on the 50th day after Passover. We have something called Shavuot, which it's 7 times 7 weeks later, and the word Shavuot means weeks. Some people observe these days not Yom Kippur and not Shabbat. Some people in the diaspora outside of Israel, they will observe 2 days for each holiday. But those are the days that God commanded us in Torah. Each of those days are days that God said we're not allowed to work. No manner of work shall you do, including Shabbat. And so you'll find that when I was growing up, I wouldn't go to school on those days. I was at services, and you're not supposed to work. So we would have a day, a kind of a day off, but a holy day. And on all of those days, not Shabbat, but all of those other holy days, we would decorate the sanctuary in white. Sometimes people would wear white. But then there are minor holidays, like we just finished Chanukah, and there's Purim in the spring when we get dressed up and go crazy. We act out the story of the Book of Esther. It comes right around Mardi Gras and Carnival, and I'm sure that at the end of the winter, there are lots of cultures that have go crazy kinds of holidays. And then there are modern holidays also where we commemorate, for example, Yom HaShoah, which is a Holocaust Remembrance Day. And we have days that we commemorate about the State of Israel too. So those are our holy days. And
I noticed that you were making a distinction between particular celebrations that God said, do this, and celebrations that through the centuries accumulated to recognize certain events that happened to the nation of Israel. Did I understand that correctly?
I would distinguish holy days from holidays. So holy days are the days that God commanded us to keep, and those are in the Torah. And then anything that came after Torah times, those the time of the five books of Moses, like the book of Esther is part of the scriptures, is part of the Tanakh, but it came after when God commanded. So we celebrate the fact that there was we were in a nation that was trying to kill us, and thanks to God we survived, so we celebrate that day. But that was something that happened after the time that God had commanded. We still see that as a commandment, but not the same level of holy. There's kind of a hierarchy of holy days for us. And I was going to point out, like Imam said, and Father Jason also talked about the calendar, which calendar we use. So the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, that all of those holidays fall on the day on the lunar calendar. But because God specified and was pretty adamant about the fact that Passover, Pesach, has to come in the spring, if we stayed on the lunar calendar, like Imam said, we would keep moving backwards about 11 days each time. So we had to figure out a way to make sure we didn't move that holiday backwards all the time. So our calendar is more like a solar lunar calendar. And we have a leap, like we have leap years on the secular calendar, on the Gregorian calendar. We have a leap year that happens six times in a 19-year cycle. But instead of adding a day, we add a whole month. You may remember that a few years ago, we had something that most people didn't remember ever happening, and that was that Hanukkah came at Thanksgiving. It was in November. And so that doesn't happen very often, but the very next year you'll notice that it fell on Christmas because we had to add an extra month and it added to that. So that's the reason why it may feel like the Jewish holiday moves around, but it doesn't move around. It's always, for example, Hanukkah always comes on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which may not always correspond to the same time on the Gregorian calendar.
Father Jason, can you talk a minute about the different holidays and the ones that are considered God commands and ones that maybe are just considered tradition from man?
A lot of our holy days are based on events in the life of Jesus himself. So we would say they're not prescribed so much in scriptures. They are us remembering a God event during the year. Does that make sense? So there's also outside the 12 that I mentioned, each church quite often bears the name of a saint or a holy day. And so here in the area, really just down the street from the Muslim center where Imam Islam is St. Nicholas Orthodox Church. So every year in December, they celebrate the feast day of St. Nicholas, and we're usually with them. St. George is the other, and St. George is venerated by the Muslim community as well as a great warrior in the first, second century. So there are feast days like that throughout the year that are unique to the actual, local church itself that they celebrate that others may not celebrate as much. But the 12 we all share together, and then also Great Lent and Pascha or Easter.
Imam, do you have differentiations of the traditions or the celebrations or the holy days, like what we've been discussing?
As Rabbi Jana mentioned, like the weekly, the holidays, like Sabbath. So like we are... the holiday on the Friday is more is good for eyes of God than this other holidays. Because Friday, is very essential days, because the God created the human being on Friday, you know. So, and God, many things happen on Friday. So, you know, that's why Friday is the gathering, is where things is not the today, like Muslim not give that priority for Friday gathering. They give more priority like the Eid, like after Ramadan and Eid al-Adha. But it is according the side of God, is Friday gathering is more holy. More value. Yes.
Imam, do you think, and Father Jason, you might feel this also, since we each have a once a week holy day, do you think that sometimes it's because we are living in the American culture, that the level of observance has diminished somewhat? So, for example, I can say in the Jewish tradition, because Sunday everything was closed and Saturday people still had to work, that people tended to, if you needed to feed your family and you needed to work on Saturday, they found a way of working on Saturday even though it was forbidden, and trying to do something to make sure they still felt like they were keeping God's word. And eventually even some of that has diminished too. Do you feel that happens too?
I do personally. I think it's the rise of secularism, right? Like when I was growing up here in the Shreveport area, you really didn't have anything on Wednesday because a lot of people attended services on Wednesday, and you didn't have anything on Sunday. And those that wanted to go buy alcohol in Shreveport, you had to drive to Bossier to do it because of what the blue law. So I think what we've seen is this idea that, you know, there's the secular and the sacred. But really for us, everything's sacred. Everything, not just, you know, when I go to work, that's sacred. When I'm in school, that's sacred. When I'm attending the services, they're sacred. But once we began to separate things and put them in these two categories, you know, church is over here, you know, going to the B'nai Zion congregations over here or whatever it may be, then those things began to be separated. And then I don't think it was too helpful when a lot of the churches within the Christian tradition began to accommodate that and move the celebration of certain days that were to be on a certain date. They may move them to another time or work around them. And what that does, it kind of fosters this mindset that really there is nothing too sacred. Going back to the question about calendar, I also would say that, again, you see the overlap between the early Jewish traditions of the Christian church taking some of the Jewish holidays that were prescribed and accommodating them or baptizing them, we would say, with Christian overtones and meanings as well. You know, I should have said that in the beginning, but yeah, that goes back to the other question.
I think sometimes you keep it because it says you're supposed to keep it as an eternal sign. And sometimes you keep it and you tweak it so that it shows that it's not the same, that you show that things are different.
Right. And I have a question for the imam. Imam, are you Sunni or Shiite?
Actually, the Sunni and Shiite, it is not the God made it, no. It is not the prophet made it, no. It is where the Muslim, they divided. You know, they like, you know, as the Christianity, they have like Orthodox, Catholic, all these things.
Right.
So where Muslim, they made it. But I'm a Sunni.
Sunni, okay.
Sunni is come, Sunnah. Sunnah means those who follow the Prophet is called Sunnah.
Okay.
Prophet Muhammad, those who follow them, is called Sunnah. Sunni. Sunni come from Sunnah.
So
how we spend our life according the way of the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
In the Shreveport-Bossier area, How many Islamic congregations are there?
It's four.
Four, okay.
One is Bojar City, 1000 Dehlai Street. And one is our is 9204 Uri Drive. Another one is 3769 Uri Drive. And one is, I believe, in Morning Sport in nearby the Mansfield Road and Hollywood.
Okay.
It's four. Okay. All of four is Sunnah.
Oh, they're all four Sunnah.
Not the Shia. Okay. Sunnah. Okay. Sunni. It's called Sunni.
Sunni. Okay, thank you.
Sunni. Imam, is there a time, any time during the year where all of the Muslim community comes together to worship in a certain time or a certain way? And I'm going to ask that of the rabbi and of Father Jason too. So could you tell us about that? Is there anything that happens during the year where all the congregations come together?
Yeah, this is like the to eat. I mentioned like after Ramadan, after fasting, all the people come, even the women and children, they come and they join. And same thing is the Eid al-Adha. When to be a sacrificed animal, so all the people and women and children.
But they do come. They often go to like one masjid, or do they? Everyone goes to their own masjid.
Because is one place is not enough.
That's not big enough. Big, yeah.
Not big enough. So sometimes, like we do, like outside of the mosque, you know, like the open area or some rent some. Hall, and we do this kind of things.
Yeah. There was a community that I'd heard about that on the Muslims and the Jews got together, and the Muslims prepared the meal for the break the fast for Yom Kippur for the Jews, and the Jews prepared the break the fast for Ramadan. And so last time I was at a masjid, I said, I want to do that. Let's do that. Let's help. And when I found out how many people we would have to be feeding, it felt overwhelming. It's a lot of people who show up at these things, and maybe vice versa. But so thanks, God. Thanks be to God. So anyway, I still think it's something we should do. We should try to figure out a way to help, because it's very hard to prepare all the food while you're fasting. Or if it's a holy day, we're not supposed to do work. So it would be nice if the other people were helping.
Good idea, but you know, I think that what we are doing right now, the try to understanding each other, you know, and as for the bad leader, you know, so if leader they understand each other, you know, so their our community they follow us, they will be understood. They have our root is same place, you know. What I believe, and maybe it's true, you know that there. Our all the religious, especially these three big religious, you know, the root is same. This some people, I not blame the politician, whatever, they try to create the separation, you know. But if you go to looking root and root, we can more come to close. What and this is the God love, you know, that we should be love each other, we should be come close to each other, we try to understand each other. You know, when our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, you know, he all the other religions like Judaism and Christianity, he tried to bring together. So, and if you see that this our book, in many things, is same. Many things is same. Mm-hmm. And. But something, you know, they're not bringing to same page because of maybe the politician. Yeah.
Sometimes it is political. Like we said before, trying to show that we're all different and instead of trying to show how we're all the same.
That's why I really appreciate what's happening here with About Faith. Because that's what we're doing. We're talking about our different faiths. And in the conversation, we realize, wait a minute, That's the same thing that we worship. That's the same way that has the same meaning for us. And when we are able to do that, it brings about some of that living it out in peace and living it out in, I go this way. And somebody says, well, I go this way, but when I go that way, it means the same thing to all of us. And so in our prayer lives and in our way that we live, I love the differences that come about, but the root of loving God and being a person of God is what the root of everything is. And that's what I'm hoping that we can accomplish here, is to learn from one another and see that in one another. Back to the holidays, if you could say, and I know none of you are going to like this question, but if you could say the most important holy day that you have in your faith, what would that be?
So Shabbat wins in the Jewish tradition. And then neck and neck with Shabbat is Yom Kippur officially, because Yom Kippur in Torah is called Shabbat Shabbaton, the Sabbath of Sabbaths. So those are officially the two most. And then Rosh Hashanah is just under it. And then the three pilgrimage festivals, Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, Pesach, and Shavuot, those are the next three in line. And then everything else is way lower.
Okay. How about you, Father Jason?
Great and Holy Pascha, which is Easter. And then every Sunday is a participation in that Pascha service for us. Every Sunday is an Easter celebration. So that would be the most important, or that would be the holiest day of the year. Let's put it that.
And Imam had already said he really did lose, I guess, his power, but yeah. And the battery really did die. But he's already said we know that in Islam, Ramadan is the holiest of the holidays.
Yeah.
Well, in being able to say that, I'm wondering if maybe those particular days this year in 2021, that we could maybe do a special program with those, and maybe you can think about your congregation and the people that would enjoy having a round table with you about that particular thing. And it could be a special time for all of us to be able to witness that and be a part of that.
I want to point out that Red River Radio has been really good about having programs on for the holy days and the special days for the faiths. I know that there's programming for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, birthday of the world things, and Passover and Chanukah, and they've been really good about having those things. They've done some wonderful Christmas things, for example, and Easter things, and I've really appreciated being in a community where they have a radio station that is the voice of the community, and they work very hard at making sure that we learn about each other. So we appreciate that.
Yes.
Put in a plug for Red River Radio.
And even doing a program like this, you know, there aren't a lot of opportunities to be able to do that, because people are afraid of being politically correct or offending someone. And it's a very wonderful thing that Red River Radio has been able to do, to have a program like this so that we can understand one another. And I also appreciate that. Thank you for bringing that up, Rabbi.
Well, I think I speak for the rabbi and the imam, and I think for all of us, we have preconceived ideas about how the other faiths worship, what they believe, etc. And that even exists within our own Christian community. You know, we have an idea of what the Baptists do, or the Lutherans do, or the Anglicans, or the Roman Catholics, or whatever it may be. But it's nice to get together. And every time we do this, I learn something, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful that Red River Radio, again, has allowed us this opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
And thank you, Marcy, for bringing us together and making this a reality.
Oh, this is
Dr. Marcy.
This is a blessing. We have talked about holidays today a little bit. I would like to continue on with that because that's kind of the entryway of others to be able to see us, people of faith. And so I would like to be able to talk about this a little more and how the holidays were developed and even how I think some of our holidays are the same. They just have different words that have meant for whatever that is, like Pascha, and all those things. And I want to be able for us to paint the picture of the coming together of that between not a specific religion, but the people of faith in how that they do that. So if it's all right with everyone, I would like to be able to talk about the holidays a little more and even be more specific about what's going on and what those words mean. Because I know there were some words that the imam said that I've heard before, but I have no idea what that means. And of course, Rabbi, I'm always asking you, what is that? And Father Jason, I do the same thing with the Orthodox, because there's lots of words that you all use from history and from the traditions that you carry. And I would like the community to be able to be not estranged from those things and be able to know what we love and what we're doing. So let's talk about holidays again. But one of the things that I would like to talk about in depth is fasting. All of you fast, and I'm sure that there are some things that are exactly the same and what they mean. And I think there's probably some differences in what they mean. And so what do you think about fasting?
That's a good topic.
Yeah. What do you think, Father Jason?
Well, going back, you know, throughout Hebrew scripture into the New Testament, we see fasting as a common spiritual discipline. And for us, when we're physically hungry, we can realize a hunger of the soul as well. And for whatever reason, we have talked about this a little bit, but God has tied our spiritual life in and through our stomachs. So sometimes there's a time to, and we celebrate the feast. Other times it's given over to fasting so that, one, we encounter the hunger of the world, but not just the hunger of the world for, again, food, the physical nourishment that we are given, but also the hunger for the spiritual life. And when someone engages in fasting at a very intense level, it's amazing how clear the mind is and how receptive the mind is to the things of God. Also, in and through fasting, there is a training of the will. And the will, you learn how to control it and it not control you. You learn how to say no to it. So as you're engaging the fast and you're participating in, now, if you just fast and you don't engage in the prayer life and the services and the reading of Holy Scripture, you're just dieting, right? We talked about that's kind of in style right now, this intermittent fasting. But when you put all those things together, they work in harmony with one with another. And the human person really can be transformed by it and his or her encounter with the divine, with God. And so fasting really in the Christian life is a necessity, and it's given to us by God, and it's set forth, again, Hebrew scripture, New Testament, in the life of Jesus himself and the others that we read about, that we seek to imitate.
We'll talk more about the fasting because I think that's an important thing. And also we want to be able to talk about the different kinds of foods, what the foods are important, why they're important, those kinds of things. And I would like to know more about those things too. So I'm excited about what we can do in the future and what we can talk about. And I appreciate all of you so much. I appreciate your hearts. I appreciate your spirit. I appreciate your friendship because we can do this. We can do this for the community and we can do it for our faith. This has been an extraordinary hour again. Every one of them, I go, this is the best. And it just gets better and better. So thank you very much for all that you pour into it and all that you share, all of you. And so I'm looking so forward to the next one, the next one. This has been an hour that I will remember. We had the pleasure of talking to Rabbi Jana, Father Jason, and Imam Islam. You've been listening to About Faith on Red River Radio. I hope you enjoyed the meeting with our panel today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. If you have a question that you would like for the panel to address, please email us at redriverradiomail@gmail.com. That's redriverradiomail@gmail.com. Be sure you tune in to the Red River Radio next Sunday for Illuminations at 1 o'clock. But don't forget, in 2 weeks, we're coming back. And we will hear more conversations of many more important topics as we go forward learning about the people of faith in our community. This is Marcy Howard with lots more questions about faith. Thank you so much for being with us.